Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you to discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
We are in week 3 of our series, Better, Faster, Stronger, which is a 4-week series about the Holy Spirit. And the reason we wanted to do a series over May about the Holy Spirit is because Pentecost Sunday falls in May. It's today. Tomorrow's a holiday. I hope you all get the day off to enjoy the lovely weather we're having. But when we start talking about Pentecost and we start talking about what happened on the day of Pentecost in the Bible, people can get a little squirmy about it. And we're going to be talking directly today about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and about speaking in tongues. We want to help you understand this today. We want to take a look at this. And it's funny because some of us grew up and were very familiar with this. And others of us grew up and were like, what in the world? I know nothing about this. So a couple years ago, I met a nice guy and we went out and had a first date. And he told me that he grew up in, I think, the Presbyterian church. And I said, oh, I grew up in an Assemblies of God church, which is a Pentecostal denomination in the U.S., and we're kind of affiliated with them. And I said, I grew up Assemblies of God, and he was asking me about it. And then we went out for a second date, and he said, so I looked up some information about the Assemblies of God. He goes, so you people, like, speak in tongues. And he was, like, horrified about this. And I was like, yeah, we believe in the gift of speaking in tongues, and I've been around it all my life. My parents regularly prayed in tongues when I was a child. There was a time when I was very sick, and as they prayed for me, they prayed in tongues. When I grew up in church, many times I would hear people praying in tongues. Sometimes people would sing in tongues as part of worship, and it was really beautiful. So I grew up around this my whole life. It was very normal for me. But this poor guy, you know, he was like, so what does it sound like? And what does it feel like when you're speaking in tongues? Do you know what you're saying? Or are you just murmuring words? Like, how does that really work? And I think I scared him off. But a lot of us, even those of us who have grown up in traditions that embrace things like speaking in tongues, embrace the gifts of the Holy Spirit, some of us have been in churches or we've been in situations where things maybe got a little bit out of control, or some things happened that were really weird for us. So all of us come into this with different contexts and different cultures that we've grown up in. So today we're going to go back to what the Bible says about the day of Pentecost. And we're going to look and see what Jesus said about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and what the Bible has to say about speaking in tongues. So I'm excited about this sermon today. I've been listening to sermons about this all week. I've been reading all sorts of research, theological research, scientific research, and there's a lot of really interesting stuff out there. But we're going to keep it to scripture today. But we're going to jump in Acts chapter 1. And actually, the day of Pentecost in scripture was a fulfillment of a promise that was made by Jesus. And we see this promise made in Acts chapter 1. So if you turn to Acts chapter 1 in your Bible or on your device, we'll also have it on the screen here. In verse 3, they're talking about Jesus here. It says, after he was crucified and resurrected again, Jesus presented himself to them, that's the disciples, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, I want to pause for a second here, because when Jesus said, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, the first thing the disciples said was, okay, cool. So are you going to restore the kingdom to God's people as promised? Like, they're still thinking that the Messiah is a thing about politics. It's still a thing of God restoring the kingdom to the promised people, the promised land in Israel. And so they said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So I want to take just a second to say that even when Jesus was there in person, the disciples thought they knew the process that God had for them. They thought they understood what came next. But instead, Jesus, we say in the U.S., he threw them a curveball, like in baseball. He threw them a curveball and went, no, this isn't about the restoration of the kingdom. I have something totally different and totally new for you, and you're going to get power in a different kind of way. You're not going to get political power bestowed on you by a government leader. You're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit from within. But sometimes when Jesus tells us what he's going to do in our lives, we think that he means one thing, but we have to be open to the new and the better thing that he might want to do in our lives. So Jesus told them to stay in the city and they'd be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So then in Acts chapter 2, it says that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, all the disciples. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So there appeared to be flames above them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Jesus called this thing that happened on the day of Pentecost the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So often when we talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we're talking about this same experience that these people had in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Now we have to note that the Jews were in Jerusalem to observe the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost was a Jewish feast that they observed, so they all came into Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, which was also called the Festival of the Harvest. And part of this festival also was a remembrance of when God gave the law to Moses. So when Moses went up to Mount Sinai in the Old Testament and God gave them the Ten Commandments, that's also what they're observing in the Feast of Pentecost. So when God poured out his Spirit on Pentecost, it wasn't an accident that he chose this day. It was significant for a couple reasons. First of all, when God gave Moses the law, God called Moses up onto the mountain. And it says that smoke billowed around the mountain and there appeared to be fire on the mountain. And Moses went up and he met with God, and the Torah, or the law, was delivered to Moses, and he came down and delivered it to the people. So on the day of Pentecost, what happens is, instead of one fire over the building, instead of one person, God released his Spirit to rest on each one of the believers. And there was the sound of rushing wind, and there was the tongues of fire that rested on each one. And it was a moment where God was saying, no longer do you have to hear my voice through one guy. I'm within each one of you through my Holy Spirit. The time had come for each person to have a personal revelation of God. And that's still available to us today. So the baptism in the Holy Spirit that day involved several different elements. It involved the sound of a rushing wind. It involved tongues of fire. It involved everyone being together in one place and praying. And it involved speaking in tongues. So there's a couple things about this story that we see happen other places in Scripture. And there's a couple things that we don't see happen other places in Scripture. So the sound of the rushing wind and the tongues of fire, that's the only time we see that happen when the Holy Spirit falls. Because that was a moment where God was doing, hey, here's a sign, I'm doing something new. There's a new beginning, and this is how I'm marking it. But the part about speaking in tongues happens a lot more times throughout Scripture. It happens several more times that people speak in tongues when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. So we have to look at the Bible as a consistent story. And if something happens one time in the Bible, we shouldn't build a doctrine around it. But if it happens over and over and over in Scripture, that's something that we need to notice and look into, because that's significant. So tongues is something that still is available for us today. Tongues is a biblical blessing in our lives. We'll go on and talk more about this, but it's not necessary for salvation. The Bible is clear about that. But I want to let you know today, before we go too much further, that the Holy Spirit cannot be fully understood until he is experienced. You can read all the books. You can take all the pneumatology courses. That means the study of the Holy Spirit. There's actually a word for it. And you can learn all this vocabulary and you can hear other people's stories. But until you experience the Holy Spirit, you will never fully understand the Holy Spirit. When we become a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes residence in our lives. And if you didn't hear Joel's sermon from last week, you need to go on the website and listen to that sermon. Because what Joel taught us last week is that we have the option to surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And the level to which we surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit is the level to which we open ourselves up to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So I want to go through and talk about a couple different functions of the baptism in the Holy Spirit as it talks about on the day of Pentecost. And the first thing that the baptism in the Holy Spirit does is it helps us to express Jesus to the world. On the day of Pentecost, tongues became a way for people who had never heard about Jesus to hear the gospel. So these guys are praying in tongues, and all these people come around and they're like, what is going on here? And Peter then, in the next part of Acts chapter 2, Peter delivers a message about Jesus. And he draws from the Old Testament because the Jews in Jerusalem at that time knew the Old Testament. So he drew scriptures from there to prove to them that Jesus was the Messiah. And through that, it says 3,000 people became followers of Jesus that day and were baptized in water. So the first thing that happened was that they had the opportunity to hear the story of Jesus. And Peter on that day gives a message from Joel chapter 2, a prophecy from the Old Testament where he says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. The work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer will always be validated by Scripture. The Holy Spirit, we talked about it the first week, the Holy Spirit cannot contradict the Father. He can't contradict Scripture. So the work of the Holy Spirit in your life will always be validated by Scripture. So for example, Scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're laying in bed at night and you're thinking about the sins that you did 5 years ago that you can't get over, that's not the Holy Spirit. Because if you've asked forgiveness for that, there's no condemnation, there's no shame in Christ. So you can easily say to yourself, you know what? That's not the voice of the Holy Spirit in my life, because when the Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin, it's gentle. So you can be confident of the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. The work of the Holy Spirit is always validated by Scripture. But on the day of Pentecost, tongues was a sign of God's radical inclusion. So you see this list in Acts chapter 2 of all of these different nations who came together and heard the message of Christ. And the way they understood it before is that the Messiah came to redeem the Jews. He came to redeem the Israelites, God's chosen people. And all of a sudden, there's all of these people who are not local to Israel coming in and hearing the message of the gospel. And they're hearing this gift of the Holy Spirit of tongues spoken in their own language. And from the very beginning, God showed the disciples that the gospel was for everyone. The doors of the church were blown wide open to include everyone. In Scripture, we often see people baptized in the Spirit and speaking in tongues who seem like outsiders. And this is a confirmation and affirmation of God's inclusion of people that we would normally not choose. See, Pentecost is not about who we're keeping out. Pentecost is a sign that the Holy Spirit is for everyone, and the Holy Spirit can fall on anyone. The thing is that the guys didn't leave the upper room speaking in tongues and just go about their day and look at other people like, well, now I can speak in tongues. What can you do? You know, I'm so blessed by the Lord, I can speak in tongues. No, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit immediately became an ability to express who Jesus was in their lives. When the disciples asked Jesus if he was going to restore the kingdom, he said, no, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, Peter has this dream. And they had all these laws in the Jewish law about what you could eat and what you couldn't eat. So Peter has this dream that all of these animals are offered to him to eat. And most of them were unclean, pork and this kind of stuff. And in the dream, God said to him, get up and eat. And Peter was like, no, I'll never eat anything unclean. And several times God says, get up and eat. And finally, God says to Peter, don't call anything unclean that I have called clean. And in that same segment of scripture, Peter encounters a family of people who are Gentiles. They're outside the normal group of people who were included in what was supposed to happen. And there were all these laws. They were outside of these laws. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, Peter visits these guys and he tells them the story of Jesus. And it says that while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, so those who lived by the Jewish law, who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. God was proving to them that the Messiah, that the gospel, the church, was for everyone now. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. And then in Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 6, Paul is walking and he meets some disciples. He meets some guys who have heard about Jesus. They believe in Jesus as the Messiah, and they're talking about it. And Paul asks them, have you received the Holy Spirit? And these guys go, well, we've never heard of a Holy Spirit. What's that? You know? And Paul was like, oh man, you guys got to try the Holy Spirit. This is so great. And it says he lays hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit and began speaking in tongues. And what that tells me is receiving the Holy Spirit is not about how much you know about the Holy Spirit or how educated you are or how long you've been a Christian. God sends the Holy Spirit who he wants to send it on. It doesn't matter that you're educated. It doesn't matter that you've been a Christian a long time. It just matters that you're hungry for it. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. But as soon as Peter was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he became emboldened to preach the word. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not about escaping the world we live in. It's about engaging more deeply in the world that we live in. The result of these guys being baptized in the Holy Spirit is that people wanted to be around them. People wanted to be their friends. People wanted what they had. They wanted the joy and the peace and the healing that they saw exhibited in these people's lives. If you're full of the Spirit, you should be more like Jesus than you were before. And everybody wanted to be around Jesus. Everybody loved Jesus. Even still, people can be very angry at the church. People can be angry at organized religion. And they'll still say, well, Jesus seemed like a nice guy. You know, Jesus taught some good principles. Everybody wanted to be around Jesus. And if you're full of the Spirit, you should be more like Jesus. And you know what? If you can speak in tongues, but you can't represent Jesus, I believe that's offensive to the Holy Spirit. I've known people before who could speak in tongues, and then they were the meanest people. And I don't know how that works. I don't know how you can speak in tongues and be full of the Spirit and act like that. I don't know. That's a question for the Lord. But actually this guy that my dad was really freaked out that this guy didn't speak in tongues, you know? So I came home, I'm like, oh yeah, Dad, he was raised Presbyterian. So, you know, and I thought it was funny. And my dad was like, well, we could pray for him, you know? But I didn't really want that to happen. so, But the truth is that if we're full of the Holy Spirit, we should be more and more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps us communicate the truth of Jesus just as he helps us to understand the truth of Scripture. So the first thing that happens when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit is you're able to better express Jesus to the world, both through your words and through your actions. The baptism of the Holy Spirit should also make you be able to share about Jesus better in English and not just in tongues. The second thing the baptism in the Holy Spirit does for us is it helps us to express our hearts to God better. Tongues is not always a language that's recognizable. In this story in Scripture in Acts 2, the people heard their own languages. And I've heard stories, and maybe you've heard stories, of someone speaking in tongues or giving a message in tongues, and then someone else comes and they're like, "How did you know my ancient tribal language?" You know? And then the white lady's like, "I've never learned your ancient tribal language," and this whole thing. And I've heard of that happening, and I think that that's real. But often tongues is a language that we can't recognize. So if you don't speak German, I don't know how likely it is that you would pray and you would just start fluently praying in German. It could happen. I won't limit God. But several years ago, I was up here leading worship. I was on the keyboard in the middle, and there was a guy next to me, and I was just back from the U.S., so I'd not met him before. He was a Nigerian guy, and during worship, we kind of, like we did at the end, you know, we stepped back, and I was just playing, and I heard him praying, and I was like, is he speaking in tongues, or is that a weird language, or is that Yoruba, you know? I found out later it was Yoruba, but after service, I was like, were you praying in tongues, or was that like a language I've, you know? And he laughed really hard. He was like, I was praying in tongues. I was like, okay, sorry, just checking. But the truth is that there are some linguistic dynamics to speaking in tongues. And many of us here have had to struggle through the wrestle of learning a new language and making lots of mistakes in that language. But what we learn when we start to learn a new language is that we exist in a box of language. So if you only speak one language, like some of my American friends and myself, it's hard sometimes to express yourself. But when you start learning a new language, your box starts to expand, and you're able to express yourself a little bit better. So for me, sometimes there's a word in French that actually fits what I want to say better than a word in English. So I'll be talking to a friend, and I'll be like, "Oh, you know, I made a salad. Oh, what was in it? Oh, you know, it was kind of like a mélange. You know, it's a better word than mixture. It just sounds better." Or my Dutch friends taught me this word. Gezellig. How is that? She's like, "Oh, that's horrible." This word, gezellig, which means a warm feeling among friends. When you're with friends, you're eating dinner, there's candles, all this. It's this feeling that you have when you are cozy and when you are with the love of friends. We don't have a word like that in English. So sometimes when I'm with my Dutch friends, at one point they had me over for dinner and they asked me if I wanted tea. And I was like, "No, I don't really want any tea." And the husband said, "Well, you're not being very gezellig." And the wife said to the husband, "Well, you're not being very gezellig if she doesn't want tea." But what learning a new language does is it starts to expand that box of how we're able to express ourselves. So when we speak in tongues, the box kind of gets blown apart, and we're able to express things in our spirit, even if we can't understand what we're saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, Paul says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue," anybody who speaks in tongues, "does not speak to people, but to God. Instead, indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit." So I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I pray, maybe if I'm going through a really difficult time in my life, or someone I know is going through a difficult time, sometimes I don't know what to pray. Or sometimes God's goodness overwhelms me so much that I don't have words in English to fully express how much I love God. And in those moments, if you have the gift of tongues, you're able to express yourself to God in a way that you weren't able to before. Romans chapter 8, Paul says this. He says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit an advocate. And let me tell you, you need more than positive confession in your life. You need an advocate before the Father. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And I can't tell you technically how all of that works because there's a lot about speaking in tongues that I don't know. But I know that when I'm praying, sometimes when I'm praying before service, I just feel something happening spiritually, but I'm not exactly sure how to pray for it. So then I pray in tongues. And I feel like the Spirit is able to speak through me to pray things that I don't know what God wants to do in service. Sometimes if a friend is going through a difficult time, I don't know what God wants to do in their life. I don't know if God's going to heal them. I don't know what's going to happen. But the Spirit is able to pray through me, just like Paul says. He intercedes for us in accordance with the will of God. So when we don't know the will of God, we can pray in tongues. So I want to talk just for a second about how we become baptized in the Holy Spirit. The first thing that needs to happen is that we become a follower of Jesus. When we become a follower of Jesus, it means that we recognize that Jesus is who he said he was, that he was sent by God. He came and he was crucified and was resurrected to new life. And we decide to follow him with our lives. We decide to do our best to follow God's law in the Bible and to surrender our lives to him. In Mark chapter 1, verse 8, John the Baptist was going ahead of Jesus, and he was kind of telling people about Jesus who was going to come. And John the Baptist said, "I baptize you with water, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." See, Jesus is the only one who can start a relationship for you with the Holy Spirit. I can baptize you in water. Joel can baptize you in water. David Pambakian can baptize you in water, but I wouldn't let him do it because he might hold you under because he thinks it's funny. But a pastor can baptize you in water, but a pastor can't fill you with the Holy Spirit. Only Jesus can do that. And that's why John the Baptist said, "I can baptize you in water, and I can help you move on from the things you're struggling with, but I can't baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Only Jesus can do that." And that's even a next step from being baptized in water. See, baptism in water is an outward symbol of a commitment that we've made in our hearts. And we're going to give you the opportunity to do that in June. If you'd like to be baptized in water, we'll do that. But only Jesus can baptize in the Holy Spirit. And he does that when we have a life surrendered to him. The second thing that we need to do to become baptized in the Holy Spirit is we need to seek to know God more. The people in Scripture who were baptized in the Holy Spirit, who began speaking in tongues, they were not perfect people who had all of their sins sorted out. In fact, a couple weeks ago, I heard a friend who's a pastor. I'm in all these Facebook groups with all these pastors. It's very exciting. But they were struggling because there was a couple in their church that had a lot of sin issues that they hadn't worked out. And the guy was like, "Man, this couple in our church, we know that they've got sin issues, but they were baptized in the Holy Spirit today and they started speaking in tongues." And all these other pastors were like, "Well, that couldn't have been really tongues." And they were like, "No, I was there. They were really speaking in tongues." God doesn't want you to be perfect before he begins to bestow his gifts on you. You just have to seek to know him more. I have a good friend here in Paris who works for La Citen, and her husband works for Jo Malone. And sometimes when I go to lunch with her, I get samples of all this very expensive skincare stuff. But when I go to lunch with her, I don't go to lunch with her so that she will give me gifts. And when I go to lunch with her, I don't say, "Hey, do you have my samples? Did you bring me anything today?" That would be a horrible thing to do, and we probably wouldn't be friends anymore. I go to lunch with her because I enjoy her friendship. I enjoy having a relationship with her. I enjoy sitting over coffee and talking about our lives. And sometimes when I spend time with her, she gives me a present. It's great. But when we're seeking to know God more, sometimes when we hear about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and we start to hear about speaking in tongues, we start to pray, "God, I want to speak in tongues." And that's great. That's an okay thing to pray. But we should never seek God's gifts more than we seek God's presence. We have to seek the presence of God. And as we seek the presence of God, he gives us the gifts that he wants us to have. He gives us the gifts that we need to have to do the work that he's called us to do. But we don't go into God's presence and be like, "Okay, God, what do you have for me today? Anything? No? Okay, cool. I'm going to go then. I've got better things to do." all of the gifts that God gives us, including speaking in tongues, flow out of a desire to know him more. God always responds to hunger. God always responds to hunger. It's not about perfection. It's not about education. It's about hunger. God always responds to hunger. And when we seek to know him more, he begins to give us the gifts that we need to accomplish the purposes that he has for our lives. The third thing that we need to do to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is we need to continue to surrender to the Holy Spirit. In James chapter 3, James devotes a lot of time to talking about how hard it is to control our tongues, how hard it is to control what we say. In fact, James says, if someone can control what they say, they can control anything about themselves. And I think that's really true. Because it's so hard to control our mouths. It's so hard to control the things we say. But when we surrender to the Lord and we begin to surrender even our tongue to the Lord, that's the moment where sometimes God gives us the gift of tongues. When we yield our mouth to God and we surrender even our speech to God, it's a sign of full surrender. And so I have friends, and this has happened all different ways for us. Some of them prayed that God would give them the gift of tongues, and right when they prayed it, they started speaking in tongues. I was 8 years old when I spoke in tongues for the first time. There were these kids' church camps. It was all very dramatic, you know. But I have other friends who prayed for years to speak in tongues, and one day they were in the shower worshiping God, and they started speaking in tongues. Or they were in the car, and they started speaking in tongues. So I don't want you to be here today and to leave just begging God to speak in tongues. What I want you to get from today is that God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. And God filling you with the Holy Spirit will always result in you being better able to do what he's called you to do. You being better able to serve people. You being better able to share the story of Jesus with people. So we're going to go into one last song. And we're not going to do anything dramatic. Joel will be available to pray with you. I'll be available to pray with you. But the thing about speaking in tongues, the thing about the baptism in the Holy Spirit is Joel can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. I'm not going to be like, repeat after me these weird sounds. That doesn't count. Okay. But if you're believing God for this gift in your life, you need to speak when you're praying for it. You need to use your mouth when you pray, because if you're praying to speak in tongues and you're standing there with your mouth closed, that's kind of a lot, you know? So if you're praying out loud, that can begin to flow through you, and you might begin to pray in tongues. You might not, and that's okay. That doesn't mean God's hand isn't on your life. But I believe that this is something that God wants to do in your life. I believe that God wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, fill you with the Holy Spirit, and it's going to start to change the way that you look at things. It's going to start to change the way you interact with people. So if this is something, you know, you don't have to be scared of it. You never have to be scared of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lets you determine how close you want to come to him and how much you want to surrender. So if you would stand with me, the team's going to play one more song. And I'm available to pray with you. Joel's available to pray with you. But otherwise, just take a moment and worship the Lord as we prepare to end today. I'll come back up in about 5 minutes and close service. But let's just take a moment to rest together in God's presence. Father, we thank you so much that you've sent the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our baptizer, that you baptize us in the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray this morning for anyone in here who is seeking this gift, who is seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God, that you would fill them to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. God, that you would release the gifts into their life that they need to accomplish the purpose that you have called them to. God, we open ourselves up to the gifts that you might have for us. We pray that you would give us the courage to stay open to what you want to do in our lives. And God, more than anything else, we want to be a church that is full of your Spirit. We want to be a church that reflects Jesus well. God, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us as individuals and fill us as a church with your Holy Spirit. We pray that this would be a place that your presence would be felt. We pray that this would be a place where your healing would be felt. Father, that you would begin to change our lives with the power of the Holy Spirit as we seek you. Thank you so much, God, for what you've done in our hearts today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.